Welcome to Family Home Evening.
With Bad Mormons.
I am Charlotte.
I'm Mandy.
And we are two sisters
that are bad at being Mormon. Straight fucking fact. Bad at Mormon. Also, we're funny.
We try. No, we are. We're funny. We're really fucking funny.
You're lucky you stumbled upon this podcast today, because we're about to entertain your goddamn face off.
Pants off.
Dance off.
Yes. We're gonna tell some stories of, you know, times that we did some drugs, probably.
More than likely, we did some drugs.
It's kind of,
we could have been wasted, we could have just simply not been going to church, but it's gonna be more fun than that.
We have our moments.
Charlotte, what kind of wine did you open for us this evening?
Palermo? Mm. Is that correct? I thought it was The Prisoner, but turns out I went for the more expensive bottle, I'm guessing.
It's a little more expensive, not too much more.
Okay, good.
It's one of my favorites. I bought it the first time because it's got the, well, Orrin Swift is known for their really cool labels on their wines. Right. But this one's one of my favorites because it's like an old,
kind of like death looking,
mummified skeleton sort
like
of
Spanish,
thing.
Spanish, like. Yeah, it's the guy who does the matador, like a skeleton matador dude.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a story behind it, which is why it's called Palermo, and I actually didn't even think to look that up. So we have something to repent for next week.
Better write it down.
But it's a cool bottle.
It is a cool label. And it's delicious wine. So we got that going for us.
Very delicious. Cheers.
Cheers. Yummy. Cheers indeed.
I'm gonna just jump right in and repent for last week.
Okay.
Perhaps doing a live whiskey tasting while recording and still having to edit and post and do all the shit afterwards was not my best idea. Apparently some of the audio is like not even you can't even comprehend it. It's overlapping. Each other in the wrong spot. Not for too long, luckily, but I was like, oh, fuck. Do I go back and fix it?
These are the things you need to come to expect from a couple of fuck-ups.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of our whole thing, right?
Yeah, this was real bad, though. And there was one tiny section
where
the audio was, like, only going to be in one headphone because I forgot to correct it. So, anyways, for the most part, it's good. But there's about a total of maybe 60 seconds in there
that are
just pure shite. So I apologize. I was very, very drunk at the end of our recording, and I made mistakes. And I'm sorry. I'll do better. I'll do better next time.
Jesus forgives you.
Thank you, Jesus.
White, blue-eyed Jesus forgives you.
The greatest miracle Jesus ever performed was being a white man in the Middle East.
Right.
Mormons, they're so funny.
Well, speaking of Mormons, I feel like this can go into Mormon Corner, right?
Oh, this is our new Mormon Corner. Are you kidding me? We got fan mail.
We got some fan mail from our favorite super fresh candy pants. We got a couple books that she found at the thrift store and mailed them out to us.
I'm hoping the DI.
I really think it's got to be, but there was no branding on it, so it's hard to say.
It smells like DI.
It does.
Oh, hey. Deseret Industries right there. DI. Thanks, super fresh candy pants. You know what we like.
So I like your book a little bit better. I mean, I like them all great, but I was going to say mine is Stories from the Book of Mormon, illustrated, which is great for someone like me who never learned how to read.
It's not that you didn't learn how to read, it's just that you're too lazy to take the time to read. Hence the, you open The Prisoner, Charlotte. Oh, this one has a P. I'll open that.
You're right. I am just too lazy to actually, whatever. It's fine. I've gotten through my whole life just doing the bare minimum.
You know, I'm really excited about that book you're holding.
There's going to be some memes in
here. Yes, we can make so many memes.
I mean,
you can't see what we're looking at, but it's so good.
It's just so good. There's a lot of men in suits, a lot of men in white outfits baptizing people, you know, families, young indoctrinated children.
Yeah, it's mostly men and children.
Yeah. Weird. Also, this is volume 5.
Oh, Lord.
So there have been 4 before that. There's some smiting, I'm guessing.
That looks painful.
Which is also the cover of this book.
Ooh, yeah.
Anyways, super good. I'm actually going to read this book because there's very little, like, He the Lord led them by the power of his arm until they reached the land called Zamarmala. Fucking Mormons.
Zamarmala? Oh, Zarahemia? I just made that up. Zarahemla.
Zarahemla? I don't know.
My eyes aren't that good. I can't see that.
Oh, that's right. I don't know how to read, and Mandy doesn't have her glasses on. Well, Z-A-R-A-H-E-M-L-A.
Zarahemla.
Tell me.
Zarahemla. That sounds right.
That's not a fucking name.
Well, this isn't a fucking religion either.
But so. It's the land of Nephi. Moses' group.
Nephi? Lehi.
Nephi. Nephi? P-H?
Nephi. I thought you said Nehi.
Oh. Like and Nehi socks?
Yeah, well, I was thinking the cocktail. The grape Nehi.
Oh. Perfect. But my favorite is the book that you are holding.
Yes, I'm holding a book, and I can't wait to put a picture of this on the social media so that you guys can see what I'm looking at. But the title of the book is just called simply Woman. And then below that are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 names of men. For no apparent reason.
They're in the same font.
They're the same font and a slightly smaller size.
Than the woman part.
So, like, the woman takes up, I don't know, a tenth of the cover, and then all the names of these men take up the rest of the cover.
I just want to point out that when I saw that we had a package, I was like, I was waiting for Mandy to get home from work so we could open them together as a family. And so when she came in, I was like, we have a package, you should open it up. So as she's pulling these out, she's like, okay, and this book is just called Woman, written by like a million dudes. Great.
This is gonna be fun. But the fact that the names of the men are just as big as the title of the book and take up 90% of the cover of the book, where it's kind of like the title Woman is an afterthought.
Right. But it's more important to talk about the dudes who wrote the book about women.
Right. So
Please read from us maybe a chapter.
In and of itself is my fucking favorite thing I've ever seen. And I was like, oh, I should skim through this and try to find the perfect little something to read out of here. And honestly, the jokes just write themselves. This is the first, literally the first page I opened it to, okay? I'm just going to read you a little bit here. The chapter is titled Woman's Relationship to the Priesthood, which, if you don't know, women are not allowed to hold.
Right.
Only the men can hold the magic power. Here we go. Oh, I'll try to make this short. My dear daughter, on the eve of your marriage, I want to take the opportunity to tell you how proud we are of you and your desires to establish a home of your own that will be filled with the power of love, of sacrifice, and that we will be filled with the laughter of children, and one that may be built upon some fundamental, timeless principles. As I have seen you grow to maturity and prepare for this day, my heart has been full, for you have always seemed to search out the best, even the highest, and have clung fast to those things which at once bring peace and direction to your life.
Erection?
Well, if I'm reading this correctly, sacrifice, children, man, marriage is the purpose of her life, and she's been working toward it for her entire life up to this moment. I'm going to assume she's 18.
If you're lucky. If you're fucking lucky.
Dear one, the Lord foresaw that all mankind should come to this important juncture. I think you meant womankind. He has commanded us to establish our own homes, have children, and learn...
Die.
Through our Father's greatest workshop, the home. The lessons that would prepare us best to return to his presence, prepared to know and understand his ways.
Ew.
Can you guys see why we didn't last?
Could you even imagine?
But a heartbeat in this religion.
Can you imagine that a lot of our cousins believe that bullshit?
I mean, that is literally... I'm sure it's different for men. Like, men and boys, even young boys, when we're doing young women's and we're trying on wedding dresses at 12 years old to prepare for our future big day. Like, they're getting the magic powers. You know what I mean? They're doing all the cool shit where we're learning how to have babies and wear wedding dresses.
Be subservient.
Yeah. So I don't understand how anybody that's a female could possibly be interested in this shit.
You're brainwashed from an early age. You have no self-esteem.
Yeah, I don't have self-esteem, and I was brainwashed too. How did I get out of it?
Drugs. Lots of drugs.
And that brings us to our next segment called Mandy Should Be Dead. Anyway, there's also another book, which I've heard about on the Facebooks and the social media, is called The Miracle of Forgiveness, written by Spencer W. Kimball, who was the prophet of the church back in my day when I was involved. But we haven't quite gotten to that one yet. We need to do a little research. We're going to talk about that
next week, I think.
Yeah, find you guys the best.
Yeah. Gotta skim through it. Maybe read out loud to each other as we go to sleep. You know, and brush each other's hair.
And I have a feeling there's going to be a lot more gems in this woman book.
Oh, yeah.
So get ready for the onslaught of memes. And
wonder if they talk about our curse. I really hope that these men write about our curses.
Witchcraft. Anyway, Mormons.
No unclean. Well, you did read something when you first opened it up. Not tonight, but when you first. It was no unclean.
No unclean thing shall enter. Yeah. Or something like that.
I'm going to get that tattooed.
I actually, one more thing for just stupid Mormon shit. Because I like how when we first started this podcast, we're like, we don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. All of our family's Mormon. And now we're just like, this fucking bullshit. Well,
come on. Especially when you read shit like this and you're like, oh, fuck off.
Right. I follow this account on Instagram called post.mormon, @post.mormon. If anybody is interested in giving them a follow. But they posted this thing which had me fucking cracking up and really spoke to my 13-year-old soul. It says, so here's what I've been told during my decade in Utah. 1, caffeinated sodas are okay, but coffee and tea are forbidden because Mormon texts discourage, quote, hot drinks. It's not about the caffeine. 2, but hot chocolate is okay, despite being hot, because hot drinks, quote, really means brewed drinks, quote, brewed. 3, iced tea and iced coffee are forbidden, despite being cold, because they are brewed. And 4, but herbal teas, hot or iced, are okay despite being brewed because there's no caffeine. So, anyone with further insight on this matter, please feel free to share.
Oh, God, that's so funny. And I was like,
exactly!
Funny.
That's exactly what a I may have mentioned this
before,
me.
But like when our little sister was getting married, we were doing hair in the kitchen, and Terry was like upset that people were drinking coffee, made some snide remark, and I was just like, well, hey, let me understand this, because I don't think I get it. Like, why are you not allowed to drink tea? Like, that's a thing? She's like, well, you can't drink hot drinks. You know, or maybe it was caffeine. I can't remember what she said. Like, but you're drinking, I just remember specifically saying, but you're drinking a Diet Coke. So, let me get this straight. You can drink a Diet Coke, which has aspartame, which is proven to cause cancer, but I can't drink Echinacea tea, which is proven to boost my immunity. Where does the sense lie in that? She's like, I just believe what I believe. So she must not have known the brewed part, or she would have thrown that in my face.
Yeah.
But it's just like, really? Really, bro? So stupid. And I don't even drink coffee. Like, I hate coffee. I'll drink wine all day long. Like, it has nothing to do with religion. I just don't like coffee.
Tea tastes like shit to me, but I'll drink it just to spite you.
Yes. But anyway, so yes, that meme was, meme was pretty, it was pretty great.
Yeah, it was really great. I was like, finally, asking the hard-hitting questions.
Right. Why are you not allowed to drink fucking tea, you bitches?
This is episode 57, by the way. I forgot to write it on our little production sheet. What's happening in the world? What's cool? What's some cool shit going on?
Donald J. Trump is suing social media platforms, which is fucking hilarious.
That is hilarious. That's better than putting it in what's on Twitter.
Oh.
It is cool shit.
It is cool shit, because he's a moron.
Mm-hmm. So, fill us in.
So, from what I've heard from what you told me in the car earlier, that he has decided to sue Twitter and Facebook for banning him, and the main point that I took from it was that the lawyer's email address is an AOL account, which I thought is fucking hilarious, because it just shows the kind of lawyers he can now get, which are not good ones.
Yeah. Well, not only that, I think the main point of that whole story is that that has launched his next wave of fundraising.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. So I use my work email account to just so I can see what's happening, you know, so I get emails from Trump all the time. I think I finally even blocked it on that email account because I'm just like, I got work to do. But yeah, it's basically an excuse for him to
crowdfund,
fundraise for this lawsuit. He's like, you know, it's like, help Donald Trump beat big tech, you know? And it's like, I mean, even the stupidest people, even the dumb kids, why does a brilliant businessman need your money for his lawsuit from getting banned from Facebook? That's just, I mean, open your fucking eyes.
Right. Well, because people are stupid.
But I mean, that's stupid? That's really stupid.
Do you know the people that... So if you're continuing at this point to continue to support Trump, you have to be pretty fucking dumb.
I know, but just laying it out like that, like, please give me... I'm a wealthy businessman, but I need your $5 donation so that I can sue Facebook.
Right, because he saw how much money he's been making off of it.
Take it. That's what I'm saying. And everyone just keeps giving him fucking money. A 5-year-old kid could see that some brilliant, successful businessman is supposedly needs your $5 donation so that he can sue Facebook because he got blocked or whatever. Like,
because he incited an erection.
Because he had an erection. No, it's been years for him, I'm sure. Yeah, because he incited an insurrection and violence and got banned. So, I mean, I bet you the next step, I mean, we joke about this all the time about Idiocracy. Great movie, by the way, if you haven't seen it.
So good.
But it really comes down, it really boils humanity down to, like, its most basic form.
It's true.
And it's really becoming that. It's really becoming that.
Yeah, I was just telling one of my clients about it. I was like, if you have not seen this movie, you really should. It's just, because I felt bad because one of the people who work in the salon is like super religious. And I don't have a problem with that, right? But we were just talking about how only morons are breeding and that the smart people are waiting and eventually just not having children. And therefore, it's just going to get a more stupid, you know, people are... And that's not true. Stupid people don't just breed stupid people, but, you know, they're more inclined to if they don't have the means to give them a good education, things like that.
And they don't have anything to teach them.
Movie pretty much is making fun of, and it's kind of spot on. But, yeah, she was sitting there saying it, and I was like, I can't really, like, talk to this too much because I don't want to offend one of the people who own the salons, but you should watch this movie. I think you'd really like it.
Yeah, it's great, and it's just becoming more and more literal every single day.
I mean, literally, in that movie, spoiler alert, they elect... WWE wrestler to be president, right? And they replace water fountains and, like, you know,
irrigation
with fucking Gatorade because it's got electrolytes in it.
What plants crave? it's all corporate sponsorships, and corporations own the world, and everybody's clothing has corporate logos all over it, and yeah, it's pretty fucking funny. It's written by Mike Judge, who is, like, the...
Beavis and Butthead.
The genius, Office Space. And lots of other gems.
So good.
anyways, yeah, it's getting to the point where it's just completely ludicrous what he's doing, and people are just like,
again,
here's my $5.
I hate to say this, but NASCAR people are his base. And I'm sorry, but I have yet to meet somebody who's super into NASCAR that... I don't want to say they're not smart. I have friends who like it that are fine. But, mm-hmm. I'm just saying.
It attracts a type.
Right. I'm sorry, friends that like NASCAR.
Yeah, that's, I don't know if that's cool shit, but that's definitely happening on Twitter, for sure. Right. That fucking guy, he'll do anything to get people to give him money.
I mean, honestly, I kind of feel like we're stupid because we haven't done that, like, how hard is it to start a church?
Well, here's the thing. It's not that you're stupid, okay?
I'm not morally bankrupt.
Yeah, you can see how to swindle people out of their money. You just have a soul and a conscience, and you choose not to do that.
That's fair.
Unlike these other fucking assholes.
God, I wish... We were just talking about wanting to go to Italy, and I was like, God, I wish I could just be rich and not work.
Well, looks like we're starting a church.
Wait. And it, you know... The first commandment is that you have to sleep 12 hours a day.
And the second commandment is that you have to buy me a trip to Italy. Okay. Jesus. The Jesus of wine. We'll have to come up with a new name for our Jesus. Clarice wants you to buy me.
Join Clarice. The power of Clarice compels you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like where this is going. So be on the lookout for that. Patrons, you guys are already included.
You're just members church. Already. You're welcome.
You don't have a choice. So have fun with that.
You already pay the tithing. Don't worry about it.
We're going to make the new people pay more.
Right. You got it at the ground level. Can this be like a multi-level marketing church?
I mean, I don't see why not.
Listen, if you sign up 10 of your friends...
Oh, hey, patrons. Shout out, by the way.
Big shout out, dude.
We love you.
We love you.
Love you so much. Thanks for being the kind of people that wouldn't give Trump $5 to help him sue Facebook.
Thank you. Give us that $5. You're the best.
I tried to see what's trending on Twitter, and it looks like, in addition to Trump fundraising for his lawsuit, because he obviously doesn't have any money for his own lawsuit, do you remember back, apparently it was last year, Michael Flynn recorded him and his family taking the QAnon oath?
I sure do.
So, if you guys aren't unfamiliar, this was a year ago. It's been a long year of COVID. Michael Flynn, who was
a former
four-star general. He was the former national security advisor of the United States of America. Granted, it was only for 22 days under Trump before Trump fired him or whatever the fuck happened. Oh,
did he get... I can't remember. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I can't imagine he had the wherewithal to resign and still do this kind of shit.
I think he was, like, forced to resign because he did something fucking stupid besides this QAnon fucking Pledge of Allegiance.
Well, so, yeah, so he's recording, or somebody's recording him and his family all standing in the backyard next to a barbecue with all their right hands in the air, basically, like, reciting the oath that somebody recites when they're about ready to step into the office of president, or maybe it's just like an official government
even like a
position.
City council person.
Yeah, I have a feeling like police probably do the same thing. Right. I don't know, some sort of
like
official.
You have to kind of, say that you're going to look out for people's well-being, or you're going to uphold the Constitution, shit like that.
Against enemies, foreign and domestic.
Right. Where we go one, we go all, Mandy.
Well, I was going to get to that. That's the end of the oath. So they're doing this
Sorry,
whole
spoiler.
Oath. They're doing this whole big oath. Mind you, they're in shorts and t-shirts in the backyard of a barbecue holding up their right hand doing this whole oath, and then even to the point where it says into this office of which I've been elected, right. They even say that part and you're like, what the fuck are you talking about?
What kind of office?
And then they say, they're directed to say, where we go one, we go all, and then they all say it. God bless America. They
God
all say
God bless
it.
America.
I don't know if you guys are familiar, but that whole where we go, when we go all is supposedly like
QAnon. Yeah.
Yeah, the QAnon oath. So anyways, that popped back up in my Twitter feed today because George Takei, God bless his fucking soul, and his Twitter feed, because that's where I get a lot of my news sources. he's basically, I don't know why this is resurfaced again, but it's resurfaced on Twitter, and Michael Flynn put out a statement saying, we didn't recite the QAnon oath, it's just a simple, I'm quoting, it's just a simple family statement, unquote. And George Takei's like, isn't that worse? Right. That's your family mantra. That's your family crest. Where we go one, we go all. Anyways, I got a big fucking kick out of that.
God, that guy's a loser.
It was so funny. Pretty much the rest of Twitter is only filled with sports right now.
I rarely go on Twitter unless it has to do with GameStop. But I did scroll today just for fun, and I saw Rosanna Arquette. It was Patricia Arquette had put, MAGA is over. That's what it was. You know what hashtag I really wish would have kept going for much longer than it did was the no fly list. God, that was so awesome. Everything about that was so fucking funny. Just fucking people throwing tissy fits because their rights were being infringed because they stormed the Capitol.
Yeah. Yeah. Should we hear a word from our sponsors?
Probably a great idea.
Yeah.
crap, drop a deuce. We all have to do it, but not everyone wants to smell it. The next person coming to the bathroom knows that you just got done blowing mud, and the leading toilet spray makes it seem like you're a dainty little lady that just built a flower power dookie castle. And trust me, there ain't nothing dainty about taking the Browns to the Super Bowl. You aren't fooling anyone with that purdy turdy basin spritz. You can't trust some poo purdy spray. You need a poo growly spray to tame that beast you just birthed. Everyone knows that cooking a butt burrito doesn't smell like vanilla raspberry or lavender eucalyptus. It's time for a real restroom scent spray that doesn't sugarcoat your bombing of the bowl. Poo Growly provides real-world scents to cover the deposit you're making at the porcelain bank. The next time you launch a butt shuttle, try one of our scents, like Rabid Skunk, Reefer Madness, Burnt Hair, aka Mandy, or my favorite, Joe Drank Too Much Whiskey Last Night. So the next time you have a brown dog scratching at your back door, unleash the power of Poo Growly.
Poo Growly is offering Family Home Evening with Bad Mormons listeners 20% off your first purchase. Just use the promo code BM at checkout. That's BM. No, not that BM. It's for Bad Mormons at checkout. And we are back.
Welcome back.
I can't believe that how much money we're making, how much millions of dollars we're making off of these sponsorships. We really hit the jackpot.
Temple Twat sponsoring us?
I know.
How did we get to be so lucky?
I can't wait. We have 3 days off this weekend, and we are going to really put some work into Gentlemen's Genitals,
yes,
which is going to be our platform for all of your Bad Mormons sponsorship-related needs. We're going to make you some TikTok commercials.
Yes.
We're gonna do some fun stuff. We will very much 100% be drunk while we do it.
Oh, yeah.
So it could go either way. Hey, do you have a story you want to tell the people today?
You know, I was shocked when I had heard that I hadn't already told this story.
Ooh, good one.
It was the very first time I ever did acid.
Yay!
I didn't know how I felt about it. My friend Nicole, Katie's my friend too. But they were closer than I was. They had done it a few times, and I was like, "You guys have done that? Like, I know my sisters have talked about it, but like, I just don't know." But they're like, "No, it's been really fun. Like, we got out of school, and we went to Nicole's house, and we took it." And I was just like, I kept just like waiting for it to like kick in or whatever. And like her little brother would always like come in and be like, "Get out, Tyler." So we're hanging out in the bedroom. And I don't know, like maybe something's happening. Maybe it isn't. And we had this really brilliant idea because the internet was not really around yet. I mean, it was, but like you had to like dial up and shit. We decided we were going to listen to Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon and watch Alice in Wonderland because we didn't know it was supposed to actually be The Wizard of Oz.
I was like, wait a minute. Is that a thing? I never heard that one.
No, because for those who do not know, if you go, I believe it's on the third growl of the MGM opening of The Wizard of Oz, if you push play on Dark Side of the Moon, there are quite a few spots that will sync up in the movie and the CD, right? Or the record or whatever.
It's real weird even sober.
It's pretty weird. Yeah, even sober. But like, well, we didn't choose the right movie. But that's okay. Because it was still very interesting.
Wait, let's clarify that just to make sure it makes sense. So at the opening sequence of The Wizard of Oz.
Correct.
The Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer lion comes on, and it roars 3 times. So on the third time it roars, right at that moment,
is where you press play
on the Dark Side of the Moon, and it syncs up beautifully.
Right.
Okay,
we just put, I believe it was a VHS tape of Alice in Wonderland in and just push play, and we're like, it'll be great! I can't really remember how everything progressed from there, but I do remember, like, The Craft had just come out, which is like that witchcraft movie from the 90s, right?
Oh, I know.
And I just remember kind of laying on the ground because Nicole was off doing something weird. Katie was off doing something weird. And I was just laying on the ground, like putting my hand back and forth in front of my face because of the trails, right? Mm-hmm. So if you don't know what a trail is, it just means your hand is very, like, I don't know, there's like five of your hands going across your face. But as I was doing it, it was like my fingers had turned into snakes. Like, and I was like, oh, it's like the movie, The Craft. Well, meanwhile, and again, there's no concept of time except for that we were high for fucking ever. Because it's the one thing I don't like about acid, and you say that this isn't true, but I swear you are high for 12 hours and you have no options. You just have to be high for that amount of like time.
It depends on the dosage. Yeah, I've had a 12-hour acid trip.
Okay, well, I guess I've only had the ones where there's just a lot on there. Who knows? But yeah, Katie was... So Nicole's closet had three sliding doors, right? So it was a pretty large closet. And Katie kept walking in one side of the closet, walking all the way down and coming out the other side, just saying, I can hear you, but I can't see you. And then she'd go in again, come out the other side, and just kept doing this like loop. I can hear you, but I can't see you. And I'm like, what the fuck is happening? And like, again, I have no idea what Nicole's doing. She's just like laying around. I don't know. But then I decided, I was like, I feel weird. I think I have to go to the bathroom. I don't know. So I go in there. I don't go to the bathroom, but I do start popping every pimple on my face.
Oh, no. And it was my,
I don't think I went too far on that one, but it's like, don't, if you're ever high, I don't care if it's pot, acid, whatever, don't start picking at your face.
That's what meth heads do. That's why meth heads look like that.
Not cute. But I'm 15 years old, so, or 13. Oh, no, I was probably like 13 years old. Because, correction for the very first episode when I talked about doing acid, coming up to visit you, I was 15 when I went to visit you. I was 13 when I did this one.
Okay.
Just a little clarification, a little repentance. But now it's pretty late. It's probably now, I think we did this like right after school. So I want to say it was like maybe 9 or 10 at night. But I was probably thinking it was 2 or 3 in the morning. Honestly, couldn't tell you. No concept of time. But I just hear this knock, knock, knock. And in our household, or at least the household I grew up in, if you made any sort of noise at night, if you were going to get a glass of water and you shut the cabinet just a little bit too loud, you got screamed at, right? Like, you'd better get your water before Jeff goes to sleep because you don't want to get yelled at. So anyways, I thought it was her parents like telling us shut the fuck up, pretty much. And so I jump into bed and I pull the covers up next to my face. I'm like, come in. I'm like, so for those who can't see, I'm now hiding my face under the covers, but just my eyes poking out. And then knock, knock, knock again. Come in. And then I hide back under the thing. I'm like, oh God, Nicole, answer the door. It's your parents or whatever. She's just like, it's not coming from the door. It was the window. And it was our friend Josh and Chris, who I don't know if they knew we were high or what the deal was, but they're like, guys, come on, let's go out. Like, I'm like, I don't want to leave. We can't leave the safety of this bedroom. Like, you can't do this to me or whatever. Like, no, come on, it'll be fine. It'll be fun. I'm like, I don't think that it's going to be fun. Anyways, so the way Nicole's house was that you, from the street, if you walked in, you were on the main level. To get down to her room, it was almost like going into a basement, which in California, we don't have basements, right? But it's because it was on this really slanted hill. So they had walked down the slanted hill. So when we had crawled out the window, we had to climb up like bushes kind of a thing to get up to where you could park. And we're driving around. I don't know if we had like a destination. I think in high school, we just drove around randomly. But whatever we were listening to had a siren in the music. And all I could think of was Mario Kart when he was driving around. And I could, you can't, like people say you see things. I didn't see it. I was just like, I could just envision green shells coming around. I'm like, this isn't good. Like, this is just reminding me of Mario Kart. And then the sirens had happened. I was like, oh my God, are we getting pulled over? And it's like, no, it's the music. I'm like, I don't like this. You need to turn around and you need to go back to that bedroom because I am not having a good time. So I think they realized I was about to freak the fuck out,
right.
And so they turned around, brought us back, and now mind you, so maybe it was later because we weren't drunk, right? So usually you're like, I don't really remember, I was a little drunk, but I was dead sober other than the acid. The sun was coming up at this point, and I was thinking to myself as I'm walking down this hill to climb back in through the window, I'm like, oh no, what if I'm like this forever? What if I decided to do one stupid thing while I was a kid and now forever I'm gonna be high? And I had to live with that for about 30 minutes.
Classic.
And I'm just like, oh God, what if I'm like in a sane asylum and that I'm just envisioning going out and doing these things, but really I'm in a mental ward. And then as I start to tell Katie and Nicole my fears, they laugh at me and say, no, we're actually coming down right now. I'm like, I don't know what that means because I don't think I'm ever going to come down. I'm like this forever. And then about half an hour later than I started also, I was like, can we finally go to sleep now? But yes, that was the very first time I ever did acid. And oddly enough, wanted to do it again.
Oh, that just resonates so many feelings. You're never coming down feeling.
Like, I live like this now. But honestly, as I was talking about the trails, I'm like...
We called them tracers when I was...
Oh, like, yeah, tracers. We also called them that. But like, Jesus Christ, no, I still have them. Like, is that something that just never goes away? Because... Mm-hmm. Or does... See, that's my question. Is it because I did drugs? Or does everybody have that?
I think it's because you did drugs. I don't remember ever seeing that before.
Yeah, but you never thought to look for it either.
That's true.
We'll have to find somebody who's never done drugs. Hey, listener, have you ever done drugs before? If you haven't, why are you listening to this? And two, will you let me know if you can see trails or tracers or, you know, about like 3 fingers back?
When you wave your hand slowly and methodically in front of your face staring at it, do you see tracers? It's funny when you were talking about like, oh, all kids do is like drive around without a purpose. It totally reminded me of being in Logan, being in high school and dragging Maine,
which
I hadn't thought about forever. And it made me think of like 4 more stories for the podcast.
Oh, perfect.
So I wrote that one down for posterity. But yeah, literally, it reminds me of that movie Dazed and Confused. Like you just drive back and forth, up and down the same street with all your friends, like. Shouting at each other.
Right, because what else are you going to do?
Yeah, right? Especially in Logan, Utah.
Right.
Well, I have an acid story, too, if you want to hear it.
Yes.
I was actually going to tell this story last week before we were able to secure our surprise guest, Erica, at the last minute for our whiskey tasting extravaganza. Patron
extraordinaire.
Yeah, patron extraordinaire. But I wanted to... I have so many acid stories, and a lot of them just blend together. But when I think I've probably said this in, like, some of our earlier episodes, but so I started doing acid when I was 15. I had never been drunk before. I had never smoked pot. I had never done anything. Acid was the first thing I ever did, which I actually believe to this day is why I never liked smoking pot, because I remember being, like, shortly after there, like, trying to smoke pot, and I was like, is this it? This is fucking stupid. Like,
why would I bother with this shit?
Why did you even do this? Give me the fucking acid.
Wait, so how did, like, who introduced you to it?
It was the apartment building behind our house.
Okay, I think you talked about that. You and Casey, right?
Yeah. There was some friends, a friend of mine who actually I'm friends with on Facebook now to this day, who had moved from Germany. She was like an army brat. She was a little older than me, and she was like a little more like world savvy than me. And I was just like creeping out of like Mormon religion territory. And so we basically had gone to this apartment, and you know, the guys she was trying to get the acid, and the guys were like, we're not giving you acid for your first time. And I was like, oh my God, we've totally done acid before.
Right.
Which we had not. And then that's where I wandered off down to the island with my head down to the sewer, like listening to the Ninja Turtles and climbing up the hill to the big A. Yeah. That was my first acid trip.
That's awesome.
But so I loved acid so much that back in my day, it was about $5 for a hit of acid. And,
same.
Yeah, and I loved it so much that I would sell it so that I could get free acid, basically.
Right.
And so my friends would go. We would go to Salt Lake, and we would get a book of acid. So that's 10 sheets of acid. And then each one of us would take a sheet, and in the sheet of acid, there's 10 strips. So there's 10 strips. And so you could either still sell the 10 strips, or you could sell the hits for $5 a piece. And so that's what we did. We would go down there 3 times a week.
Dang.
And pick this shit up. And because I mean, everybody was doing it. Everybody loved it. And then we would just get tons of free acid, you know, and it was great. And I had a pager. Oh my God. Our dad is like, only drug dealers have pagers. And I was like, what if my friends need to get a hold of me? You're calling me Dad
didn't question
dealer.
How you were paying for a pager?
No.
That's weird.
Never did. But anyway, the moral of the story is I was doing a fuck ton of LSD. And to the point where I was counting out how many hits I had taken at the beginning. Like, I was like, oh, this is my third, you know, it was my fourth trip. So it's like my fourth hit of acid. And then occasionally it would be like, oh, you took two hits. So that's my 10th, you know, hit of acid. Right. And I don't know if you know this, but like when you take acid consecutively multiple days in a row, you need to double the dose in order to get high.
Right.
So like day one, you take one hit. Day two, you take two hits. Day three, you take four hits, eight hits, 16 hits.
Don't even want to be high for 12 hours, let alone a week.
Well, you come down a little bit to sleep, and then you're ready to go again. So it's like, there was one point where I had taken 39 hits of acid at the same time.
Jesus Christ.
Because it was day seven
How
of wanting
so
to.
So smart. Why is your brain not mush at this point?
I ask myself the same question. But I was like, I was young and
also,
I don't
know. Also, just goes to show that, I mean, Mandy's a very intelligent person, so the fact that she's done this many hits of acid and isn't a moron is pretty great.
Who knows, I could have been an astronaut maybe. If I had chosen college instead of becoming an entrepreneur. But anyway, so I had my kind of claim to fame, or my big bragging right story, when I was maybe 17, you know, this is like 2 years into it, I would always tell everybody like, oh yeah, I stopped counting at 700. And they're like, what? And I was like, yeah, I stopped counting at 700 hits of acid. And I was still pretty young.
Right.
You know what I mean? I might have been. No, I would have had to have been. Because I moved out when I was 17. So I would have had to have been about 17.
Dang.
And it would just fucking blow people's minds. And I also.
My mind is blown.
I also want to just add, too, that, like, it's a very delicate chemical balance in your brain that's happening. Because I definitely know more than one person who's taken one hit of acid and never been the same afterwards, you know?
Right.
Thinks he's a glass of orange juice.
Oh, shit.
Just completely.
So, oh, my God, you said that. I was like, that was the fear, was you think you're a glass of orange juice. Where the fuck did that originate from? Because I've completely forgotten about that till you just said it right now.
There was a couple of brothers at my high school, and I won't say their names, but one of the brothers just never came back. It was Erica's boyfriend's, two of their friends.
Oh,
it was like
shit.
The skater kids, and he was never right ever again after that. But yet,
that's
I can take
terrifying.
700 hits of acid and be, from what I can tell, pretty normal.
Yeah.
You know?
That's crazy.
You know, chemical balances are pretty intense and very delicate.
Because I'm of the mind that everybody should do a hallucinogen at least once in their life. But knowing that you could potentially fuck yourself up for the rest of your life is also not really that worth it. But I have to wonder, too, had he never done that, would he have become schizophrenic? Or had some other issue regardless
yep.
of
yeah.
taking a...
That,
you know,
that's the theory, yeah.
Okay.
That's the theory, but yeah, you never know. Because, I mean, more people, the majority of people who do take it with no long-term
side effects.
Yeah.
Other than the trails for days.
We always used to joke, like, oh, everyone would say it collects in your spinal cord.
Well, that's what they said. If they're going to test you, they can't test your blood or anything like that. They have to do a spinal tap.
Yeah, which I think is probably a bunch of bullshit, but I've never actually, like, asked a scientist or anything.
We should ask our scientist friend.
We should. Let's write that down for repentance next week. So, anyway, that was a very long introduction to my story, but...
Go on.
There was one point where I had already moved to Washington, and then I'd moved back for a short amount of time. I can't remember exactly how long. I want to say it was only like 9 months or so before I was like, oh, this is why I left Utah. And then I went back to Washington. But my friend Allie lived out in Hiram, and we always used to hang out there. I think her mom was a nurse and worked nights, so there was nobody there all through the night. So we would hang out there and take acid. And I remember we used to do this so often, and it cracks me the fuck up to think about it now, but we would go in the basement, and Tool Undertow had just come out, so it must have been 1993, I think, and we would sit in the basement, turn the lights really low, and we would skip the tracks all the way to that hidden track 69. Do you remember that? We talked a little bit about it last week, which I just learned is a song called Disgustipated. I never knew that it had a
title. An actual name.
Yeah. But it's this, like, so if you guys haven't heard it, you could, you know, just go to Alexa and ask her to play Disgustipated. But we used to put the CD in, and then you would have to sit there and wait. Like, you couldn't even skip the tracks. You had to just sit there and wait for it to go and go through all the, I don't know, track 13 was the last real song, and then you had to wait for it to go all the way to get to 69 before it would start playing that song. And so we'd all just be high as fuck in the basement. It's always winter for some reason. It's always cold.
Because it's Utah and it's always winter there.
And so it's cold as fuck outside. And we'd sit in the basement, and then when the song would start playing, it's a very low, gradual introduction of sound. And it's a lot of weird animal noises and like goats braying.
Right.
And it starts getting louder and louder, and you're just like, what the fuck am I listening to? And then, and that goes on for actually, I wrote this down because I was like, how long is that song anyway? So that animal sounds, sheep and goats and shit, goes on for 1 minute and 10 seconds, getting louder and louder and louder, right? And then you start to hear this preacher talking. Right. He was like preaching a sermon, and it's Maynard James Keenan, who's the lead singer of the band Tool. And he's talking about how, you know, nay, a million voices full of fear crying out in the darkness. You know, it's the cries of the carrots. For tomorrow is harvest day, and to them it is the Holocaust. And it's just this weird, you're like, what the fuck am I listening to? This weird shit. So that preacher message goes on for another minute, 21 seconds. And then it turns into this, like, tribal drum circle drumming that you would listen to around a fire, you know, with while you're taking a bunch of drugs. And it's just this chant over and over again that says, this is necessary. Life feeds on life. So I think I'm getting the message that it's like an anti-vegetarian song. It's like pro-meat.
That's actually fucking hilarious.
But it's, that's 4 minutes and 12 seconds of the drumming, right? And then... And then, how does it end? Oh, and then it's crickets. And the crickets go for 7 minutes and 4 seconds. And then, to just cap the whole thing off, you hear this really weird phone message, and it's like an answering machine. And another thing I learned that I didn't know at the time was it's a message left by Maynard's landlord. And it's just some weird poetry about, like, stalking some people out into a field. It sounds like something a serial killer would say. Anyways, it's real fucking weird. That message lasts for 1 minute and 57 seconds, and then that's the end of the song. So the song in total is 15 minutes and 47 seconds, and we would just listen to that shit over and over and over again, high on acid. We fucking loved that shit.
I remember hearing that, but it was like while I was sleeping because the CD had ended or whatever, and it kept going or whatever. And then I wake up to like, what the fuck? But when I think of that, and I believe it's the same album, I'm really bad when, because I bought the CDs and whatnot, but I never really paid attention to what the names were called on anything. But it's the one where it's like, oh, you're so like self-righteous or whatever. You'll never do drugs. You don't like drugs. You think drugs shouldn't exist. But go throw all your CDs away. Go throw away every music, because all those people were really fucking high on drugs, right? But like when he says really, it just goes like super like trippy. Yeah,
warpy.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm just like, he's right.
Me and Courtney used to actually love to play that song at the Beaver too, because you could select it. Right. But then it's like, you what did I say? 7 minutes of crickets. People would just be like, what the fuck is this? They couldn't skip it. Their song wouldn't play. And me and Courtney just be like,
A little side note. Have you ever watched the John Mulaney stand-up? He has this little bit where he talks about how he was... There's a pizza joint he used to go to as a teenager. And they had a nickel for a song in the jukebox. And he would put on It's Not Unusual by Tom Jones like 15 times. But then he'd put on, like, because, you know, you hear it once, you're like, oh, I like this song. And then the second time you're like, wait a second, like, oh, no, sorry, I have this backwards. He would put What's New Pussycat over and over and be like, this is a good song. I haven't heard it in a long time. And then, you know, it goes on for the second time. You're like, wait, is this song still playing? And then by the third time, I'm like, fuck, somebody put this on for a third? What the? And then by the, like, it keeps going. You're like, fuck this shit. And then all of a sudden, it's not unusual. And you're like, oh, God, thank finally. And then back to, what's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa.
That's rude.
And I'm just like, that is like the most diabolical thing I've ever heard. I love it.
I love it too.
But anyways, it reminded me of what you were saying with the, what's the song called again?
It's called Disgustipated, but we always knew it as track 69 or song 69 off of the Undertow album. Was that Undertow or Opiate? Undertow.
It was Undertow, yeah.
Yeah, that was fun. And, I don't know if this should be... this isn't enough of a story to tell on its own, so I'm just going to kind of add it on to this one. Well, actually, let me stop there. The reason I thought of this as a podcast topic was because during that same period of time when we would do that, we would drive around. Somebody had a car. I think Allie had the car. Maybe Alan. Maybe it was Alan's car. I can't remember. But we would just be high as fuck out there driving around in the snow in Hiram. And it's like the snow, I don't know if you guys have ever driven in snow, but when you're driving in the snow, it comes at your windshield and it kind of makes you feel like you're in Star Wars or something. Right. It's like you're going through, I don't know,
warp
light speed,
or
yeah, whatever. So you've got that going on. You feel like you're in a video game. You have no business being in behind the wheel of a car, much less driving all your friends around. And we fucking did that shit all the time. So that's why I should be dead.
One of the many reasons why Mandy should be dead.
And then we would go to the safety of the basement and listen to Song 69. But I wanted to tell this other story too, which isn't enough for its own episode. But when I first moved to San Francisco, the grocery store that I worked at, we, you know, had a big wine selection. And Maynard Keenan, again, the lead singer for the band, he started a winery in Arizona called, I think it's called Merkin Vineyards, which is funny.
For those who don't know what a merkin is,
it's a pubic wig.
It's a wig you put over your pubes, usually meant so that men in romantic scenes and movies don't have to show their own pubes.
Which is weird.
Which is just fucking
weird. If
you're
going to put it out there, just put it out there.
Right? You're going to show that whole region.
But maybe if you're used to waxing and then you're doing a period piece where you need to be in the 1800s and your bush has to look fuller.
Or, you know, you've got alopecia of the pubes of the pubes.
Anyways, so Merkin Vineyards, which I actually would like to get some wine from them and try it.
We should do that. Yeah. I wonder if we can visit the winery.
Put that on our list. It's in Arizona. It's not that far.
We could do a road trip.
So, Maynard James Keenan comes to my grocery store because we sell his wine and he's going to autograph bottles of it.
That's weird.
You know, those bottles are worth a shit ton of money now, and I kind of wish I would have gotten one.
Idiot.
I know, but I didn't. But so I remember there was a, we had an office, which we called like our leadership office, where all of the department managers would sit. So there's, I don't know, 10 desks in there. And we, at the very last minute, we all of a sudden were like, oh, hey, you guys all have to get out of this room. This has got to be the green room. This has got to be Maynard's green room. He demands this private space for himself. And we were like,
that's only green M&Ms.
Yeah, we were like, that's weird, but okay, sure. So, like, we all left the office. And then there was this man named Steve Fox. I'll never forget him because he was so fucking foxy.
Ooh.
Yeah, he was hot as fuck. And he was, like, super cool and down to earth. But you really got the impression, like, don't talk to Maynard. He doesn't want to talk. Don't
well, that's why he's a bodyguard.
Him.
So
yeah, don't even try to, you know, make a conversation with him. He's not into it, you know. So he was kind of like, but Steve Fox was super cool with us. So we were like, this is fucking weird, this diva coming into the grocery store and, like,
right,
demanding
and
our
also,
office.
I love Tool, but it's Tool.
Like, well, and this was, like, 2007 Tool also.
He's
so
fallen off for a little while.
Yeah. So anyway, then, you know, the event happens and there's a line, I mean, wrapped around the block in San Francisco. We're over in Potrero Hill, just hundreds of people deep waiting to get their bottles signed. And I was like, whoa, I had no idea that like this would have been such an event. And, you know, so we kind of like, there was a bar that we used to hang out, right. There was actually several bars right around there that we used to hang out at. The bottom of the hill.
I was going to say, we've been to a few.
The Parkside. The Parkside. So I think we went to the park side and then came back and we were like, holy shit, this is really, people are really into this. And, that was pretty much actually the end of the story. It was just like,
Didn't he take your friend on 3 dates?
He was a, I was getting to that. Yeah. He was a total diva. He had this really hot bodyguard named Steve Fox who told us we weren't allowed to talk to him. And then, yeah.
But don't worry, Steve Fox. I want to talk to you.
And then at the end of the day, one of my co-leaders, you know, ended up going on like 3 dates with him because he really was into her. So it was okay if she talked to him.
I would like to know how that went.
I can't remember any specific, so I don't think there was anything
memorable.
No.
No John Cusack.
No John Cusack.
Are we allowed to talk about John Cusack?
I think so, yeah.
We don't have to say. One of Mandy's friends dated him for like a couple months.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently... Now apparently, I feel uncomfortable.
Apparently
about
what?
It. Apparently he's got a giant dick.
That's the word on the street. That's the word on the street. John Cusack's packing.
Which I'm just like, of course he is. He's so cool.
And truly a nice guy.
Right.
By all accounts.
Which should have started with.
We should have opened with that. But we're more interested in Merkins and the size of your penis.
For all one of you who listen to this podcast.
Charlotte and I are going to our very first post-COVID concert coming up in a couple weeks.
Super excited.
Uh-huh. We're going to go see X at the County Fair. Which X is like a super old school, you know, Orange County punk band. And our friends from San Francisco are driving down for it. Which our friends, if you've listened to our previous episode, I believe we titled it Get in My Vagina, Sam Rockwell.
Oh, yes.
We detail the story of how Charlotte motorboated my bus.
Listen, I asked for permission first, and I wonder if shit's going to get weird. No, it's not going to get weird at all. Like, I'm sorry that I motorboated your wife a couple years ago. I won't apologize to Ani, who I actually motorboated.
But, Janine will get the apology.
I also didn't actually ask permission either. I only asked Janine whether I could motorboat her wife's boobies. I'm apologizing all around.
Yeah, repent for that next week.
I will repent right now.
But yeah, they're coming down. We're gonna have a lot of fun. I'm super fucking stoked about it.
Me too. I am flying out the very next day. Very, very early in the morning.
That's okay. I'm getting up very early too because we're all going to Disneyland.
Not me. I'm going to Austin, Texas. Whoop whoop.
Hey, how should we be excellent to each other?
I was kind of
thinking this douchebag came into my work the other day and he was wearing a shirt. He was like a regular, you know, upper middle class white Huntington Beach dude. He was wearing a shirt that said born vaccinated, period, like in huge letters. And then it said with an immune system, period. And I was just looking at him and he's looking at me like with that look like, you want to fucking fight?
Right.
You want to talk about it? You know, like he was wearing that shirt just as a giant
he's
fuck
like,
you.
Can't wait for somebody to say something.
Yeah, the entire world. And I just shook my head and looked down like, I don't want to live on this planet anymore. Right. But it was just like, it made me think, you know, and we've said this before, but I think it's worth saying again. The majority of people are not assholes. The majority of people are cool, normal, responsible, educated, caring, giving a shit about the communities they live in type of people. So let's just not forget that all of those assholes that make the news are only making the news because they're louder.
Right.
And it gives us something to talk about. If anything, if watching Nightmare on Elm Street has taught me anything, take the energy from it and it will go away.
You're nothing. You're shit.
Exactly. So, I don't know. That's the only thing I can think of. As much as we still talk shit on our podcast and bring attention to it, that's really the best thing to do is stop fucking paying attention to it, right. And it will 100% go away.
Right. No, I mean, God, people suck.
We don't want it to be dangerous, right? We need to pay attention to the things that are causing danger to us, like that whole fucking insurrection shit.
Right.
And
right.
Not vaccinating yourself because of Jesus or whatever the fuck they're talking about. QAnon. I don't know. That's not Jesus, but it's all weird.
Kind of hand in hand.
It's all weird.
I'm of the mind of, like, just be cool. Like,
can't you just be cool, people?
Like, just, well, I wanted to, like, I've been talking to, like, a lot of my clients about this, because we've been bringing up religion a lot lately, and it's like, I can't imagine worshiping a god that's like a spiteful god and like, you didn't worship me and, you know, praise me every single day, so therefore you're, you know, damnation forever. I'm like, is that really what people like worship? Like, that's if you get down to the bare bones of it, like, I just say, be a good person, you'll be fine, you know. And if you're dirt at the end of your life, then you're fucking dirt. But anyways,
what about a religion who says things like, page 100 of the book called Woman, of the problems of a divorced woman, one has said, divorced Mormons often become alienated from the church entirely. For those who cling vigorously to the source of blessings rather than cutting themselves off, there is yet to be sometimes the present problem of uneasy fellow members who regard divorced people as having something wrong with them, perhaps something contagious like a disease, and who do not know how to act with such a one, who may be innocent of any wrongdoing or even victimized.
I'm confused.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I literally just opened to a random page.
It's the best book that's this ever been.
Super Fresh Candy Pants. Given you to have it. Outdone yourself.
You have outdone yourself. So speak of, to the old adage of, do unto others as you would do unto yourself.
As you would have others do unto you.
What the fuck ever.
You want to try it again?
Just do that. Whatever Mandy was said, do that. I don't really know. I'm not religious.
We're at the point of the podcast now where Charlotte thinks thoughts and I iterate them for the world.
She knows how my brain works. It's cool. You're the same person. Only she's much smarter than I am, and she's done massive amounts of drugs. I only did acid 8 times. I've done 8 hits of acid in my entire life, yet you are in the 700 club.
I stopped counting at 700 when I was 17 years old.
Continued to do a lot more drugs. Well, you know what I heard once somewhere, and I was going to bring it up, and I forgot, was they say that once you've done it 8 times, you're clinically insane.
Oh, that's right.
Right.
We used to tout that one a lot, too, back in the day. I forgot
about
that.
Clinically insane.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you're interested in hearing more revelations from the Lord our Father in heaven of the heavenly Jesus people, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts so that we can keep making this podcast for you. It really helps other people find our show.
And go ahead over to YouTube, like, subscribe, share with your friends.
We're up to 62 YouTube subscribers.
Holy so shit.
If you tell your friends and they tell their friends, we're going to be making pennies before you know it.
We'll be rich.
Check out our website. Also, we still have some merch available. We're coming up with new merch and some exclusive Patreon merch.
Listen, patrons,
if you're not a patron yet,
we're going to get you some shit real soon. I know we say it every week, but tomorrow we have a 3-day weekend. We're getting this shit.
Yeah, we have it in our hot hands. We just have to mail it out. And if you're not a patron yet, why don't you check out Patreon? If you go to our Linktree website, which is in all of our social medias, there's a link directly to Patreon, and you can have the option to spend less than a latte, less than tithing, and support our podcast and keep us in wine so we can keep you entertained.
Right, because if I did this podcast sober, I just don't know how entertaining it would be.
I'm going to say not.
Although by the end of it, I can barely speak and you have to translate, but that's besides the point entirely.
We love you guys. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
See you.